Dearly beloved, this morning we will continue the study of the Baltimore Catechism, which we are almost finished with, by studying Lesson 37, Prayer, a very important topic. What is prayer? Prayer is the lifting up of our minds and hearts to God. Or as it has been said very simply, prayer is talking to God. Communication with God, lifting up our minds and hearts to God. Why do we pray? There are four reasons for praying. We pray first to adore God, expressing to Him our love and loyalty. Second, to thank Him for His favors. Third, to obtain from Him the pardon of our sins and the remission of their punishment. And fourth, to ask for graces and blessings for ourselves and others. So these are what we call the four ends of prayer: adoration, thanksgiving, reparation or atonement, and petition. Is prayer necessary for salvation? Prayer is necessary for salvation. Ordinarily, one who has reached the use of reason cannot be saved without prayer. God will not give us His graces unless we ask for them. Yes, there are some graces that God gives without our asking. But all the graces that we need to save our souls will not be given to us unless we ask. Remember the words of our Lord, "Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find." We need to pray. We can't expect to go through life without praying and still save our immortal souls. It is absolutely necessary that we pray, and we should pray every single day. Why do we pray for favors when God knows our needs? We pray not in order to inform God of our needs, but to acknowledge that He is the giver of all gifts and to ask Him to assist us in our weakness. God knows everything. He already knows what you need. Nevertheless, He is God, and He has determined that He's not going to give us what we need until we ask for it. Even though He knows what we need, He wants us to ask. And by asking, we are humbling ourselves, we are acknowledging our own insufficiency and our need of God, and realizing or reminding ourselves that He is the giver of all gifts. How should we pray? We should pray first with attention. It would be a mockery to pray and to be distracted and not even think about what we're doing. Prayer is talking to God. If you talk to a human being and you're all distracted, not even paying attention while he's talking to you, or you're communicating with Him, it would be an insult. So it is also an insult to God to pray with distractions, with willful distractions. We all have distractions, but as long as we're trying to fight them, they are not willful distractions, they are not sins. So the first important way by which we pray, or manner of praying, is with attention. Second, pray with a conviction of your own helplessness and your dependence upon God. In other words, humility. We have to pray with attention and with humility, a realization we need God's help. Third, we should pray with a great desire for the graces we beg of Him, an earnest desire for what we ask. Fourth, with loving trust in His goodness. And fifth, with perseverance. We have to have trust or confidence in God, and we also have to persevere in prayer. Sometimes God doesn't give us what we ask right away. He wants us to keep asking and keep asking. You remember the mother of St. Augustine? She was a saint, St. Monica. She prayed for the conversion of her son who was a heretic. For years, I think something like 20 years, that she prayed over and over for her son, and he was finally converted. Not only converted, but became a great saint. And sometimes we give up prayer because we think, well, God hasn't heard my prayers. I asked Him once and He didn't give it to me. Well, He wants you to persevere in prayer. And another thing to note is that sometimes God does not give us exactly what we ask for because He knows it is not good for us. We are human. Our minds are very feeble and limited. Our understanding is limited. And we do not see the future. God does. Supposing that you pray for health or for material prosperity. And God knows that if you had it, you would end up becoming worldly, or you would end up sinning, you would end up becoming lax in your spiritual duties, then He will not give it to you. Because He loves you and He wants you to save your soul. And remember this, God always hears our prayers, if we pray as we should, but He doesn't always answer them according to what we want. If God does not give us what we ask for, it is because He knows it is not good for us, and instead He will give us something better. Something better. It may be something spiritual, something that we hardly even advert to, aren't even aware of. But let us never fall into that delusion that God doesn't listen to us when we pray. We have to keep on praying. We have to persevere in our prayer and to pray in the proper manner, with attention, with humility, with a great desire for the graces we ask for, with trust in God, and with perseverance. What should be the posture of our body during prayer? The most becoming posture of our body during prayer is kneeling, but we can also pray standing or seated or even lying down, because the more important feature of prayer is the humble attitude of the mind rather than the posture of the body. If you have someone who's bedridden, it would be ridiculous to say the person can't pray because he's lying flat on his back and he's paralyzed or sick and can't get up, to say that such a person could not pray. While the posture of the body is not essential in the sense that you can pray walking, driving a car, you can pray anywhere, anytime. But still, it must be kept in mind that kneeling is the most becoming posture, and we should always be reverent. Whatever our bodily posture is, we should always have a reverent posture, and especially our mind. We should not be slouching physically. Our body should be in a reverent posture, but also our mind should be attentive and reverent during prayer. For whom should we pray? We should pray especially for ourselves, for our parents and relatives, friends and enemies, for the souls in purgatory, for the bishops and priests of the church and the officials of our country, for the conversion of sinners. You can pray for the souls in purgatory and people you don't even know, the conversion of sinners, but primarily the beneficiaries of our prayer should be those who are close to us, or those who have some sort of influence over us or some sort of authority over us. We should pray for them. How do we know that God always hears our prayers if we pray properly? We know that God always hears our prayers if we pray properly because our Lord has promised, if you ask the Father anything in my name, He will give it to you. Why do we not always obtain what we pray for? As we said, we do not always obtain what we pray for because either, number one, we did not pray properly, or number two, because God sees that what we are asking for would not be for the good of our soul. Now, we mentioned earlier distractions. What is a distraction? A distraction is a thought that enters our mind during prayer concerning something else, something that has nothing to do with God or with the prayers that we are saying. And we all will have distractions. As long as we make the effort to fight off distractions and do not intentionally, willfully dwell on them, we're not guilty of sin. But to have willful, intentional distractions during prayer is a sin. Is again insulting to God. You know, there's a story told about a man who told his friend, he said, "You know, I heard the priest say that it's impossible to pray with no distractions at all. I mean, it's almost humanly impossible." And the other person said, "Oh, I can do that." And the first person said, "No, you can't. I'll bet you can't even say an Our Father without distractions." And the other person said, "Oh, come on. No problem at all. I could say 5, 10 Our Fathers, no distractions." He said, "All right, I'll bet. I'll place a bet with you. If you can say one Our Father with not even one distraction, I'll give you a horse. I have a horse and I'll give it to you if you can say one Our Father with no distraction." And the other person said, "Boy, this is a cinch." So he starts out, "Our Father who art in heaven." What color is it, by the way? So this just goes to show that human nature being what it is, we will have distractions. The important thing is once we realize that we're having a distraction, we chase it away. And we bring our attention back to the prayers that we're saying. What should we do when we find ourselves involuntarily distracted at prayer? When we find ourselves involuntarily distracted at prayer, we should not be discouraged, but should try to recall our attention to our prayer and not attempt to repeat the prayers that have been said with involuntary distractions. As a matter of fact, I recall one saint, I believe it was St. John of the Cross, who said that if you are praying and you do nothing else during a period of prayer, while you're praying the rosary or whatever, you do nothing else than fight off distractions, you gain more merit than someone who doesn't have as many distractions and therefore doesn't need to fight them as much. It's bothersome. It takes effort to fight off distractions. And therefore, because of the effort, God is very pleased with our prayer when we're fighting off these distractions. Three kinds of attention are possible at prayer. First, attention to the proper pronunciation of the words. Second, attention to the meaning of the words. And third, attention to God, which means that we meditate. We think of God and maybe not concentrate on every single word, like when you're praying the rosary. The first thing you should do is try to pronounce the words correctly, to say it devoutly and slowly and together with others, to pronounce the words well and to say it in a beautiful manner. The second attention is to the meaning of the words. You could meditate on the words of the Hail Marys and the Our Fathers. But the third type of attention is when you're attentive to God and you meditate, such as meditating on the mysteries. And that is even more pleasing to God. It's a higher form of prayer. How many kinds of prayer are there? There are two kinds, mental prayer and vocal prayer. Mental prayer is that prayer by which we unite our hearts with God while thinking of holy truths. And we also call it meditation. And we can meditate on many things. We can use a meditation book, such as The Imitation of Christ, and read over a meditation slowly, think about the meaning, and unite our hearts to God. It takes a lot of effort. It's not easy to do. But it is a very pleasing to God, a very beneficial form of prayer. Vocal prayer is that prayer which comes from the mind and heart and is spoken by the lips. What are ejaculatory prayers? Ejaculatory prayers, or aspirations, are very brief prayers such as My Jesus Mercy, Sacred Heart of Jesus, I trust in Thee, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, I give you my heart and my soul, etc. And there are so many others. We call these ejaculations or aspirations. The advantages of ejaculations are that they can be made at any time, for example, while working or walking along the street. Many of them are very richly indulgenced, and they are easy to say. And the indulgences, as we said several lessons ago, the indulgences for ejaculations can be gained even without moving your lips, even just by saying them, so to speak, in your mind. So we should form the habit of saying them. If you have a temptation, especially a temptation against purity, immediately say an ejaculation. Maybe you can't always kneel down and take out your rosary and start praying the rosary, but to say an ejaculation costs us little or nothing. Especially powerful are the names of Jesus and Mary. When we need special help at time of temptation, to say the names of Jesus and Mary and to say them over and over again until the temptation leaves. If you could only form the habit of praying ejaculations as soon as you're tempted, as soon as you realize the devil is tempting you, stop thinking about the temptation and start saying ejaculations until the temptation leaves. If you could do that, you would always be victorious. Remember that. And that's certainly a goal worth pursuing. May we use our own words in praying to God? Absolutely. We may use our own words in praying to God, and it is well to do so often. Prayer that comes from the heart is more pleasing to God than prayer that has become a routine. And sometimes we have certain prayers that we say every day, and that's very good, that's very beneficial. But it's good when we can do so to pray in our own words. You feel inclined to talk to God, to speak to Him reverently, do so at any time of the day. Praying to God in your own words is even better than reading prayers from a book. At what particular times should we pray? We should pray particularly when we go to church, in the morning and evening, before and after meals, and in all dangers, temptations, and afflictions. These are the times especially when we should pray. Every Catholic should have the habit of praying in the morning as soon as possible after you get up. You should say the morning offering as soon as you get up, but after you're dressed, and preferably before breakfast, or at least before you go about the day's work, you should say your morning prayers. It's good to say the Angelus. Stop at noon, middle of the day, and say the Angelus, and perhaps other prayers at that time. And at nighttime, before you retire, to say your night prayers. Parents especially should instill into their children the habit of saying morning and night prayers every single day. It doesn't have to be a lot of prayer, but morning and night prayers every day. And of course, as the Catechism here says, before and after meals, and in all dangers, temptations, and afflictions. When we're going through a trial, we should immediately turn to God. When we're in a danger, physical or spiritual, turn to God. When you experience great sorrow, a great trial, affliction, turn to God for consolation. What are the prayers that every Catholic should know by heart? Every Catholic should know by heart the Our Father, the Hail Mary, the Apostles' Creed, the Confiteor, the Glory Be to the Father, and the acts of faith, hope, charity, and contrition. These are the prayers every Catholic should know and recite often. We usually begin and end our prayers with the sign of the cross. The sign of the cross expresses two important mysteries of our faith: the mystery of the Blessed Trinity, three persons in one God. When we say in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, we are thereby professing our belief in these three persons, and that these three persons make up one only God, the Blessed Trinity. And the second mystery that we profess in making the sign of the cross is our belief in the redemption, that Christ came into this world and died on the cross to redeem us, to reopen the gates of heaven, to make it possible for us to go there. By tracing the sign of the cross from our forehead to breast and from shoulder to shoulder, we form a cross professing our belief in the redemption. How are the mysteries expressed by the sign of the cross? Well, we just answered that. When we say in the name, we express the truth that there is only one God. When we say of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, we express the truth that there are three distinct persons in God. When we make the form of the cross on ourselves, we express the truth that the Son of God made man, redeemed us by his death on the cross. And our last question, what is the special value of prayer recited in common by several persons? The special value of prayer recited in common by several persons, for example, a family, a sodality, a congregation, is that our Lord promised his special blessing on prayer of this kind when he said, "Where two or three are gathered together for my sake, there am I in the midst of them." St. Louis Marie de Montfort says that there is so much value to common prayer that you share in the merits of the others whom you pray with. He says if you pray a rosary alone, you gain the merit of one rosary. If you pray the rosary with 30 other people, you gain the merit of 31 rosaries, yours and that of everyone else there. Remember the words of our Lord, "Where two or three are gathered together, I am there in the midst of them." So form that habit of praying daily, morning and night prayers, and especially in common. Especially families should pray together. Remember the old slogan, "A family that prays together stays together." And I'm sure that many of us would agree that the reason we are Catholic today, the reason we did not fall into the apostasy and have the true faith, is because we prayed the family rosary. At whatever cost, you parents, should gather your children together every night. After supper is a good time when the whole family is together, and pray together the family rosary, no matter what the cost. Don't allow yourself to become lax and to omit the family rosary. Form the habit of praying the rosary together as a family every day. And you can be sure that God will bless your family. And the reasons why, one of the reasons why even Catholics experience so often in their families division, children leaving home in a rebellious way, running away from home, rebelling against the parents' authority, is because there is not enough prayer in the home. So let us be men and women, boys and girls of prayer. Prayer, which is the life of the soul. St. Alphonsus Maria Liguori, who wrote beautifully on prayer, says this. He said, "The reason why there are souls in hell is because either they did not pray or they did not persevere in prayer. They started to pray, but then they quit and they gave up a life of prayer. And the reason why there are souls in heaven is because they persevered in prayer." It's that simple. Those who go to hell either went there because they never prayed or they didn't keep up their prayers. And those who are in heaven are there because they kept up a life of prayer. We should never be ashamed of prayer. When you go to eat in a restaurant, don't be ashamed to say grace before and after meals. As a matter of fact, there's a true story that was told me by a priest that a young couple went to a restaurant. I believe they had recently been married, and they were both Protestant. And they went to a restaurant to eat, and they noticed some Catholic teenagers, boys and girls in their teens, who were having a meal there in the restaurant and said grace before their meal and then afterwards when they were done. And this young couple saw this and were so astounded that each of them separately began to take instructions in the faith. And the man didn't want to tell his wife that he was becoming a Catholic. He didn't know how to tell her, and he was thinking, how am I going to break this news to her? And the woman, who was also taking instructions apparently from a different priest, was afraid to tell her husband. Didn't know, how am I going to tell him that I want to become a Catholic? And finally, one told the other, and they're both surprised to find out that they both received the inspiration to become a Catholic by watching those young people who were not ashamed to pray in public. So let us love our faith enough to be willing to profess it. Prayer is necessary for salvation. If you do not pray, you will never go to heaven. If you do not learn how to talk to God in prayer, to call upon Him, then when you really need Him, you won't think of it. If we form the habit of calling upon God daily, morning and night prayers, then we will also call upon God in time of great need. Those who never pray, except in a great danger or a great need, will probably not then pray in the proper way, because they have not formed the habit. So pray, pray, pray. St. Alphonsus said, "I wish to shout it from the mountaintops to all the people of the earth. If there's anything they need to do to save their souls, it is this very simply, to pray, pray, pray." We do not need to pray all day long, but we should pray often, especially morning and night prayers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.